still at Kauhavivari Film Festival with another documentary. And it's again about a film, this time from director Alexander O'Philip about his film Kim Novak's Vertigo. Actually, I always want to say Vertigo, but it's Kim Novak's Vertigo because it's all about her role in the film and also a lot about her life, her personality, and how this essential Hitchcock film influenced her whole acting career. So nice to meet you here at Kauhavivari.
Likewise, thank you.
You've traveled to many festivals, actually, with this amazing documentary. I think I've seen it the first time at Venice, where it had its world premiere. Mm-hmm. How has your festival journey been?
Oh, you know, it's been amazing, of course. I feel very fortunate that every film I've made pretty much has had an incredible festival run and always just an incredible privilege to really be able to share it with audiences and get to feel the love and get to exchange, you know, with people in different cultures and see how they react.
Your documentaries are often centered around film. We had Chain Reactions, then we had your documentary about the Alien movie. Mm-hmm. So these are mostly considered genre films. Would you say you have a special thriller, horror, sci-fi?
Oh, definitely, yeah. I mean, I think ever since I was a kid, I was watching a lot of horror movies, and I'm very interested in the films that transcend the medium of cinema to become cultural events. You know, films that stay with us, that hold a mirror to society, that have something to say about who we are profoundly, and films that really resonate. And then, of course, you know, there are movies like Vertigo, which are, you know, timeless movies, that are puzzle movies, that are movies that trigger a certain kind of obsession from film lovers and film directors as well, and people who are interested. I mean, it's really hard, I think, to be interested in art and not be fascinated by Vertigo. I mean, Vertigo is it's a film that the more you spend time with it, the more it eludes you.
Yeah. Which is one of those interesting aspects about Vertigo, that it is a film about obsession that also causes people to become obsessed with it.
Yeah.
And I think it has been, whatever that may be worth, it has been elected the most influential film of all time in multiple polls, the best film. It's always hard to say, like, there's a best film, you know? But there's a lot of recognition for Vertigo, for sure. So was it intimidating to tackle that film?
No. You can't be intimidated. I am driven by love and passion for the films that I make films about. To me, there's nothing intimidating about that process. It's really fun. It's just an endless process of discovery and recognizing that you're never going... It's not about uncovering the mysteries. It's not about solving anything. There's nothing to solve when you're delving into the creative process. It's about getting to watch films, rewatch films, and experience films in a brand new way. Talk to someone who is as obsessed about Vertigo as I am, I'm going to get a brand new perspective on the film. And that's the fun of it. You can watch a film 100 times and you can still have new conversations about it and see things about it that will challenge the way that you think about the film. I think that's a beautiful thing.
Do you remember the first time that you saw Vertigo?
Well, I mean, I was very young. The memory is very fuzzy, but I think I was very young. I was in Switzerland, that there's indication that it was still being broadcast at some point in the 70s. I do remember it. And, you know, sometimes I wonder, is it one of those kind of Blade Runner type memories, you know, the spiders hatching? Is it true memory? Is it a partly false memory? You know, like, I don't know. It's fuzzy. But I do have this very strong memory of seeing that wallpaper at Ernie's and the wallpaper in my living room, my parents' living room, and seeing Kim Novak sort of coming out of that. So when I think back of my earliest movie memory, that's what I think of. So I must have been very young.
Did you always see Kim Novak as an essential figure of Vertigo? Because often it's Hitchcock who comes first to mind.
Obviously, when you're a kid and you're watching this, and I was watching a lot of Hitchcock when I was quite young, I wasn't necessarily thinking about Hitchcock. I was thinking about the films, you know, that I was watching. But I do remember being a Hitchcock fan and realizing that there was this one man who was making all those films and realizing that I just wanted to know more about this particular individual. And so little did I know as a kid that I would eventually make, you know, multiple films about him, and I'm probably going to make many more, yeah.
When did you, for the first time, get in contact with Kim Novak, who is one of the very few Hitchcock actresses who are still alive?
That was, in fact, exactly 2 years ago. I was in Kauhavivari. 2 years ago that we had our first phone conversation, and then 2-3 weeks later, I went to her house for the first time, and we, you know, spent a whole afternoon, evening together, and that's when the decision was made that we were going to move forward with making this film.
Which is interesting, because I could also imagine that you would have been maybe tired to talk about, or was maybe saying like, oh, that's my whole life, I don't need to do it again.
Well, she didn't want to, for decades, she did not want to do it. It was her manager who, I mean, she told me, you know, she had been looking for someone for decades to make a film, and Kim always said, no. Her manager, Sue Cameron, had watched some of my films, and she contacted me and she said, you know, I think you're the guy. So that's why she, you know, she said, you know, you have to meet Kim. So she had that sort of instinct, that intuition that if Kim and I, that Kim would want to do it. So that's, you know, that's all intuition. And she was right. Kim made the decision on the day. There was an sort of immediate level of comfort between the two of us. You know, it was great.
Was it difficult to balance Kim Novak's legacy and the legacy of Vertigo in one film?
The way that I see the film, really, it's more of a portrait of Kim through the lens of, and I say Kim Novak's Vertigo, it's not just the movie Vertigo, but it's really the spirals of her life. Spirals are very interesting in the sense that they keep showing up in her art as well, and that her life is really coming full circle in this particular film. The focus is more on Kim, of course, with a lot of Vertigo, you know, certainly. But now I'm working on film very specifically about the ending of Vertigo. And that's a two-part film that I'm working on right now. And Kim is also involved in that. But so are many other very famous filmmakers. And so that'll be focused on Vertigo.
How much of the film's structure was pre-shaped, and how much did you just create organically with Kim together?
The structure really emerged fairly quickly, and it's a four-act structure, and it's a spiral structure, which the whole idea was that each of the four acts was going to focus on a very specific aspect of her independence and autonomy. You know, and the whole film is about Kim fighting against the forces that tried to turn her into someone she was not and remaining true to herself. I mean, that's really fundamentally what, you know, from childhood all the way until the end of her career, always forces that tried to mold her.
It's also Vertigo, because it's about a man shaping a woman to be the dead woman that she's not.
That's exactly right. And so that's why the final act really focuses very specifically on that. And the gray suit is central, you know, to that sort of sequence. Each act comes back or ends with the idea of Kim leaving Hollywood. But each time we circle back to that, there's a slightly different answer to why she left. It opens the door to mysteries again.
Did it also change your own perspective on the film and maybe also on Hitchcock? It has been a lot talked about and discussed that Hitchcock sometimes terrorized his actresses to receive the result desired by him, and that it was sometimes an atmosphere on set that would today be considered abusive in some terms.
It depends who you talk to. I mean, if you talk to Kim, she adores, you know, Hitch, and he was very much a prankster. You know, she saw him as a prankster. He was doing pranks, but her personal experience was certainly not the experience that Tippi Hedren, you know, had. I wasn't there, so I can only speak for Kim, and no, she had a great time.
How much time did you spend together to make this film?
A lot of time. I mean, we had three production periods of a few days, and then, of course, you know, a lot of voice memos and a lot of conversations, and, you know, we're still constantly in contact. I mean, the friendship is ongoing, and call each other and send each other texts, have conversations, you know, sometimes still about Vertigo. When I discover something or find something, she's always eager to hear what that's going to be.
How much material did you shoot?
Oh, I couldn't tell you how many hours, but we shot a lot. I'm still going through that right now, and I have a lot of voice memos, a lot of recordings.
Was it hard to keep the film to a certain limit?
If you pay attention to where the film wants to be, the film will tell you how long it wants to be. In this particular case, and I usually have a pretty good sense, it's intuition, but I'll go like, you know, I think this film is going to be about 90 minutes, or this film is going to be about an hour 10, an hour and 20, or it's going to be 3 hours. Or this one, from the get-go, I thought, you know, I always thought it's going to be around 75, 80 minutes, and, you know, it's 77. It's just a feeling.
You already mentioned that this film is mostly about Kim Novak and her life and her career. How hard was it to get her to open up, and were there things that you uncovered that were totally unexpected for you?
It wasn't hard in the sense that the moment that she had made the decision to do it, she was all in. There was no looking back. There was no taboo subject. I was given free rein into her attic. So it was trust. You have to establish the trust. And the moment that you do, then go, you know. We had made the decision not to talk about her love life, her husband's, Sammy Davis Jr., you know, none of the gossip, none of that stuff, none of the tabloid.
That's always stuff. The least interesting. That's so
overpresented
in women's biographies.
Yeah, for sure. And yet that's what people would expect. But I wanted to make a portrait of her on her own terms. I wanted her to have the opportunity to show herself as she is, because she's an incredible human.
Was there something that you wish you could have put in, but that for some reason, time or whatever, went out?
No, not really, to be honest. She gave me the freedom to make the film. She didn't want to pry. She didn't want to see anything while it was in progress. She wanted to see the finished film. Got to make the film that I wanted to make. And of course, when I sent her the link, I thought, well, I hope she likes it. If she doesn't,
she
didn't request a single change. She was very, very moved by it.
You already told us that you have another film about Vertigo coming on. But is there, apart from that other Vertigo film, another film project or documentary or maybe something completely different?
There's many. I'm working on a bunch of double projects right now, which is weird. You know, so The Fall, which is this new Vertigo film, going to be a two-part film. It's probably going to be 3 to 4 hours. I'm working on a diptych about Nosferatu, which involves kind of scavenging old decaying prints from around the world. I am probably going to start shooting a double project in Pittsburgh about George Romero and Tom Savini with the George Romero Foundation. And then I have another film about mafia movies, but that one is a single project. So, and then there's other projects, but yeah, I'm literally working on 3 double features right now. So it's kind of intense.
We're looking forward to all of these. Thank you so much for this interview, Alexandra.
My pleasure. Thank you.